We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
The McNeil and Parkin Show. Afternoons on the Score.
Came with a touch, and then we got Dunn pushing Westbrook. And, and a punch thrown by Jeremy Grandin. And Grandin, Rollo are tangled up. And Rollo wants to go after Jeremy Grant. And now the coaches have come on the floor. And Steven Adams now and Lopez are having a few words.
Oh, we're going to have a long replay on this. This is not good.
This is not good at all. And it started, Bill, with a little of Cameron Payne, and then Dunn came in, and then all of a sudden Jeremy Grant threw a punch, did he not?
The McNeil and Parkin Show on 670 The Score.
This hour on The Score brought to you by Pearl Mortgage. Go to perldavid.com. All right, so the Bulls get blown out by the Thunder. It happens. You have no Zach LaVine. They're the more talented team. You're on the road. It's revenge for your win back at home. No problem. A little bit of a shoving match. No problem. Happens in sports. Assigning bigger meaning to a little silly, scrappy NBA fight feels very high school football coachy to me. But Kendall Gill's the expert. He's the tough guy. He's the NBA analyst, and he's been in those meetings, those locker rooms, and he knows. He's from NBC Sports Chicago. Kendall, I did not catch the postgame show last night, and thank you, as always, for your time and generosity to the show. Do you think what happened last night to the Bulls is in any way a good thing?
No.
He wanted to say yes, but he can't bring himself to it.
Listen, you know, the thing about it is, if you guys watch the replay, in the first half, Chris Dunn and Russell Westbrook got tangled up, and Russell Westbrook really didn't like how Chris Dunn played defense on him, because I guess he got shook up a little bit, and it just escalated into the second half. That's what this whole thing was about. It was between really Chris Dunn and Russell Westbrook, but everybody else got involved and everything. And, you know, it's good to see that your teammates will stand behind you and everybody will come to your defense in Chris Dunn's case. But, you know, I never have been able to figure out why basketball players run up to a guy with their hands down.
They're not fighters.
Exactly. That's exactly what happened yesterday. You know, the guy used Rollo as a judo throw on Rollo, threw him into the stands and everything. I was like, big fella, I know you're big, but they can use your weight against you sometimes, you know?
Yeah.
Did you think that Westbrook disrespected Chris? I kind of do.
Probably in an all-star sense, a superstar sense. He's probably looking at this guy, why are you going at me so hard? Because Chris Dunn stated before the game that he was going to go at Russell Westbrook really hard. Westbrook probably got fed up with it and was like, saying, listen, little fella, get off me. You know?
Right, he big-timed him.
Yeah, he big-timed him, and that's what that was all about.
So Jim Boylan, after the game, in one breath he says, you know, it's not a big deal. And then in another breath he says, well, that's what we've been talking about. It's fighting for each other. We talk about being a pack of wolves, man. I thought we had some of that. I liked the look in our guys' eyes when that happened. It bonded them a little bit. That's what we've been talking about. What the hell's he talking about, Kendall?
I don't know.
Okay. Awesome.
Because, you know, listen, if you're going to be that tough, why not be tough on the court while you're playing as well? You know, like, run the fast break the correct way. You know, find the right guys. That's my definition of being tough. And, yeah, you know, these things happen in the NBA. And like as I stated before, you like to see guys come to their teammates' defense. But, you know, I think the toughness comes from, you know, listen, giving somebody a foul when they need to be fouled, playing hard defense, locking a guy up, double-teaming a guy, and not letting him score the basketball. You know, NBA fights are – Well, you guys know what they are. It's with WWE, basically.
They're better than baseball fights. At least guys look like they want to throw a punch.
Well, in baseball, the guys actually do throw a punch. They roll around on the ground a little bit and everything. And in basketball, you know, the guys are so scared to get a technical because it costs so much now. Back in my day, it cost $1,000 a tech. You didn't mind taking a swing at a guy.
Hey, Kendall, when Jim Boylan succeeded Fred Hoiberg, do you think John Paxson, Michael Reinsdorf, Jerry Reinsdorf had any idea this was what was coming?
They probably did, because if you know Jim and you've talked to him a little bit, he's a fiery type of coach. So anytime a coach comes in and he takes over, he's going to try and put his imprint on the game and his imprint on that team. And that's exactly what Jim Boylan is trying to do. So I don't think that John Paxson, Gar Forman, or Reinsdorf are surprised.
We're talking to Kendall Gill from NBC Sports Chicago. Kendall, I'm real down on what's happened to the Bulls, not because I care that they're bad or losing, like that's by design, but they're not supposed to be an embarrassment and a laughing stock like this. So I've kind of written this off. Like, I don't think it can work with Jim Boylan long term, like however that's defined, the end of this year, next year, whatever. Like, I don't think it will work. Can you give me any reason for optimism?
Well, the optimism is that he's not been at the helm that long. What is it, maybe 6-7 games that he's been the head coach? We have yet to see him, you know, actually with his full team, much like Fred Hoiberg. And I thought, you know, Fred Hoiberg did as good a job as he could have. I mean, the guy gets hit with all types of injuries at the beginning of the season, doesn't have his full team. So he was operating at a handicap. And I think that in Jim Boylan's case, he's also operating at a handicap right now because don't have your leading scorer, Zach LaVine, there. For some reason, which I disagree with, Jabari Parker is out of the rotation. You know, I've never seen a guy who leads the team in rebounding and is your second leading scorer, and all of a sudden he's out of the rotation. I don't understand that one. But, you know, all that being said, you don't have all your top players in the game at once together. I don't know how many games Chris Dunn or Zach LaVine or Lauri Markkanen have played together, but it hasn't been that many. And that's how we're going to get the judgment on how far this team can go.
Yeah, I'm with you. I mean, we're still in single digits in terms of the four of them, right? LaVine, right. Dunn, Carter, Markkanen. We're in single digits of those guys playing together. So I'm with you on the talent, but mm-hmm. Without having any respect, without being Pop, right, without having the pelts on the wall, calling a practice after a back-to-back, subbing your starters out five at a time, two different times, calling them out to the press, military-style push-ups, whatever that means in these practices, like, can you coach the modern NBA player this way and succeed long-term?
Nah, not really. They make too much money, and I don't care what anybody says. The players run the league. If all the players get together and go to an owner or something, then that coach is pretty much done. But I agree with you on the subbing five in and subbing five out. You know, I've had that done to me in college and in the pros in high school, but never twice in a game. I thought that Jim should not have done it in the second half. You know, he should have, if he was unhappy with the players, should have just pulled them out, sat him down, and just put him back in. I think that, I don't know if you guys saw the interview after the game, but Zach LaVine, that's the most upset I've ever seen Zach LaVine. And you know, he's a pretty mild-mannered guy because he didn't get the opportunity to go back and redeem himself in the second half. And as a head coach, you always have to give your players a chance to go back and redeem themselves. That way you build a relationship with them where they'll run through a wall for you if you give them a second chance.
So that's exactly what I'm worried about. Like, I feel like he's lost this team before he's even given himself a shot to succeed.
I can see you thinking that way, and I have my concerns about that. Hopefully, okay. You know, he won't do that again. I know you get all excited and everything, and you want to show everybody that, you know, everybody's going to be held, your players are going to be held accountable and everything, but there's a way to do things. And, you know, if you're going to be one of those at this level, guys, you look at all of the great coaches, Popovich, Pat Riley, Phil Jackson, It's all about managing personalities. Everybody pretty much knows the X and O's when they get up here. But in order to be a great coach, you have to be able to adapt to the personalities and communicate with your players. That's number one. So hopefully Jim can find that out.
Kendall, do you see any scenario in which the Bulls will ask him to leave or he will leave on his own? I mean, is this going to be the story for the next 50-some games this year until offseason?
I certainly hope not, you know, because I hate talking negative and pointing out bad points and everything on the post-game show because I think that this team has the talent to win basketball games, you know, and be able to compete. Now, hopefully, if it continues to go the way that it's going right now, where they consistently get blown out and they lose a lot of games, then I think that there may be a coaching change at the end of the season, during the summer, rather.
Kendall, you know, you know people in and around the league. What's been the discussion or the vibe that you've gotten about the Bulls, say, in the last 2 weeks since the Hoiberg news and all the Jim Boylan stuff's happened?
They're like, they don't like the practice. that's what the consensus is. I talked to a lot of my NBA friends, but I have to explain to them, listen, guys, this was after a back-to-back. They practiced 2.5 hours all week long, and then after back-to-back, they thought that they were going to come in and have another one of those 2.5, 3-hour practices. And that was the concern. So I had to explain to them that the scenario wasn't exactly like they thought it was, because they started to think of our players as having a revolt when really the guys just didn't want to practice that day. They were dead tired.
So you defended the guy, because a lot of our texters have said, you know, these players sound soft. Go practice. You lost by 56. Go practice.
Yeah, I understand that, but a lot of people don't understand. You know, they look at the NBA players, and they say that they're soft, but you don't realize what a toll it takes on your body when you practice 3.5 hours, and then when you have back-to-back games. You really need a day off to let your body recover. It's not about being soft. I mean, you guys look at Tom Thibodeau. People always say, well, he practices too much. He plays his players too many minutes. Well, this is what's going on right now. You see, and you guys know how we ended up with Derek. I love Tom Thibodeau. You know, you guys know how we ended up with Derek. That game against the 76ers in the playoffs, he should have been out of the game. If he's out of the game, we were probably talking a whole different scenario about the Chicago Bulls organization. Joakim Noah's knee. It's because 3-hour practices, man, back to back, all those minutes. You don't want to tear your players down. I understand practicing them, but after back-to-back, you've got to give them some time off.
Yeah, that stuff's best left in the sicker South, isn't it, Kendall?
Yeah, you're right.
What's the best reason to watch the Bulls right now?
The pre- and post-game.
There you go!
Kendall Gill and Will Perdue.
You guys are great. I do really enjoy the show that you guys have built with Schanowski. It's good stuff.
Keep bringing the hammer, Kendall.
Okay, guys. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, man.
Like, I get it. It is such a knee-jerk thing to be like, these players with their guaranteed contracts, they got to go practice. They didn't have any trust in their coach. The coach hadn't earned the trust. He thought the players thought that they were going to run him into the ground.
I can't imagine this thing goes 4 more months. Can you?
I don't know.
I don't.
I think Pax wants it. I think he thinks that instilling toughness.
What good is coming out of any of this?
I think the idea, again, this isn't my opinion.
Us against the world, what's that going to do?
I'm with you. I try, whenever I don't understand, I try to see the other side and see if I can construct the argument there, mm-hmm. right? I think the idea is Boylan will instill the work ethic and the work habits in the young guys. And so if his offense is a little outdated or the players hate him or whatever, like, okay, but at least they'll work hard. And then by the time they're ready to be good, that's when the good coach comes in. Like I think that's the theory.
Okay.
But it's just, it's embarrassing. It really is embarrassing to watch.
He embarrasses himself, Jim does, Boylan, almost every time he speaks. He says something that makes you think, what in the world did they find to be appealing about this guy? We came together Really? Is that what this is? You're gonna get a bunch of guys standing, pushing, and shoving? That's your coronation of team?
It genuinely sounds like high school practice
it
stuff.
It does!
And I
told the guys before the game, and I wish I could play with them.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure that did a lot for them.
It's just a bizarre, bizarre thing. And the talent is what it is. Like Kendall's factual in that, sure, without Zach LaVine, they're operating at a similar talent efficiency than Fred Hoiberg had. But that's no longer the issue right now. Like we knew the talent was young and going to be bad, and their damn over-under was 30 wins in Vegas.
They're not going to sniff.
Right.
They may not get to 20.
Right. We knew they were going to be bad.
They might not win 20 games.
I know. and listen, separate conversation, that's good. Like, I'm fine with a top three pick. Like, bring me Zion Williamson. Bring me Cam Reddish. Bring me Barrett. Like, give me a Duke kid. I'm in.
Who's Simba hot us for? Do you know? Have you picked the mind of young Eli for the draft yet?
He won't give me his free bets, so I don't. I kind of banned him. No, he still won't give me the bets. But no, I don't know who he likes the most. I know that Zion Williamson looks like the biggest freak. He's J.J. Watt with a LeBron James vertical. Like, he is a monstrous human being.
And where can I watch him play his college basketball?
He is very much on Duke.
Okay.
Yeah, he is a...
very much. Not just a little bit on Duke. He's always in on Duke. Okay.
Well, all these guys are, man. Like, Duke looks like they have a... their whole starting lineup will be in the NBA at one point or another. But yeah, Zion Williamson is... It's not that he's LeBron. Obviously, LeBron's a singular entity, but he's like kind of the evolution of LeBron, whereas he looks like a football player who grew into a basketball player's height, and he's out there on the perimeter dropping dimes, and he's got a little range, and his dunks, it looks like he should break the backboard. Whenever he throws the ball down, it looks like he's by far the strongest player on the court.
Do you remember the first guy you saw play college basketball who reminded you of that, had that football... Real, like, wow, what's this guy doing out here playing basketball?
Well, I saw LeBron in high school in 2002, 2003, and it was at the United Center in the EA Sports Roundball Classic. I was like 16, 17. I was just like, doesn't even make sense.
Yeah.
He's going against guys who are 6 foot, 180 pounds. So I don't have a great one for you that predates that. What about you? I mean, Derek Coleman back at the Cuse.
When I was at Ball State, I saw Karl Malone playing for Louisiana Tech, and I immediately called. We didn't have cell phones to text buddies. My buddies who are big basketball fans, when I called them next or saw them next, I said, remember the name Karl Malone. This guy is a freshman at Louisiana Tech.
Okay.
He is going to be an NBA monster, and he was. I mean, he was a freshman with like 37 points and 17 boards.
Yeah,
had a monster day.
One of the first like college games I really remember was like an Arizona Kansas game. Rafe LaFrentz and Jock Vaughn, like 1997 KUT. But those guys weren't physical specimens.
Yeah.
They were just really good college basketball players,
right.
in terms of being monsters. But that's what Zion Williamson is.
I'll take that.
Me too.
That'd be fine.
Yeah, it'd be fun.
And if they keep getting in fights, I mean, if Jim Boylan is coming back next year because they got more dates on the calendar against the Oklahoma City Thunder, a guy like that would be helpful.
Yes, he has. I would
want
him in my
corner.
Taking
it to the alley. I mean, Zion Williamson, I'm all for him. What number is he wearing?
What is he?
I'll find 12? Him. Don't worry. The tournament's in 3 months.
12? Yeah. Someone's texting in 48-inch vert, 285 pounds.
Wow.
It doesn't even make sense.
That's great.
It doesn't make sense. This segment, by the way, brought to you by Spot Hero. And finally, here's a way you could save time parking. Use Spot Hero anytime you park. First-time users, enter the promo code SMART for $10 off. Spot Hero, park smarter. What do you got, Shep?
Oh, Zion Williamson, number one.
Number one. Oh, I thought you were calling you. Okay, my bad.
I thought maybe Shep had another thought on a Brad Pitt movie that didn't feature Brad Pitt.
That's right. Better producer than he is an actor, apparently.
Guys, at the second round, I'm going to take a steal. Wolf of Wall Street.
I thought I had a great draft lineup.
On the back end, he made a ton of money. James Cameron, Titanic.
If you could get that in a draft, yeah, that's the movie you wanted and you can actually get it, sure, that would be a great draft pick. It's a good movie.
Bruce
didn't have Brad.
Yeah, well, it's a small technicality. Coming up next, Bruce Levine has been reporting on a story that will matter both on the field for the Cubs and Sox, but also for the sports fan in terms of how we consume our sports now and into the future. He joins us next on The Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Who's your favorite rock star?
You're Prince. Morris.
Bruce.
Prince.
Bruce.
Bruce Levine.
Bruce, I've known you for a number of years now. That is absolutely the slickest way you have ever had.
670 The Score's Baseball Insider.
Bruce, I would swim the Mississippi River for you.
Well, you don't have to go that far. Mark Twain said the same thing, you know, back when...
about you?
Yeah, when I first started covering baseball. Yeah.
Covering the Cubs and Sox for over 30 years.
Deep left field, it's got a chance! Cubs win!
Johan Moncada with another triple.
Bruce Levine with McNeil and Parkins on 670 The Score.
Bottom of the hour on The Score, brought to you by Northwestern Basketball. Join Coach Collins and Northwestern Basketball at the new Welsh Ryan Arena this Friday when they host Oklahoma at 8 p.m. Tickets on sale at nusports.com. He's our guy, Bruce.
What's
Levine.
Going on, Mr. Baseball? What's happening?
Gentlemen, a new network is confirmed, as we broke about 45 minutes ago on our website and our radio station. The Chicago White Sox, Chicago Bulls, Chicago Blackhawks will partner with NBC Sports Chicago on a new regional network that will begin in October of 2019. Partnership is only different now because it excludes the Chicago Cubs, who will start their own regional network in 2020, being that they don't have to start until their game starts. So it's probably February in 2020 for the Cubs. But this new regional network will be up and running after the baseball season. So the Hawks and Bulls have a carrier, and that's your new deal here between these four.
What do we know about the distribution plans for the Cubs network?
As far as who's going to be with them, or will somebody be with them?
Yeah, like who is it going to be available everywhere? Where is it? Is it going to be on Xfinity?
That's an interesting question. It's a very good question that you ask, because if you look back to distribution of the TV rights for the Los Angeles Dodgers 6 years ago, and the fact that they got a $4 billion deal for their TV rights, only 30% of those games have found their way to cable TV because certain carriers of cable refused to pay the distribution rights that the Dodgers were demanding from them. Therefore, only 30 to 40% of that market have ever seen Dodger games on television since then. So that's an interesting question. The new part of that is that the Cubs will have their own, the White Sox will have their own, along with the Bulls and Hawks. They will have different subscriberships because it's different regional networks. It'll be up to the cable companies like RCN and Comcast or whatever you have to make deals with those teams and see how much they have to pay themselves, how much their subscribers are going to have to pay to get the service, and more importantly, where these games will be streamed other than the conventional cable network.
I can't imagine the fan base here being as willing to accept Cubslessness, if you will, the way Dodgers fans did, Bruce. I mean, you say 30% of their games have been available to about 30% of the potential viewers. Cubs fans would have a fit, and they would switch carriers if their team's network were not available to them.
Well, can you? In certain areas, you can't switch, right? I mean, is it available?
Well, you're going to cut a deal with
an RCN area.
Yeah, right. There's, you know, if you have your own, if you have your single home, you're going to go direct. Your DirecTV is going to have it. That will be one of the first deals they will want to cut.
Sure, and you know, and again, streaming is going to be huge. You know, Disney and MLB made a huge deal 2 years ago where $80 million goes to each team. Disney has 75% of MLB. Or BAM, you know, that's Baseball's Advanced Media, same thing for MLB.com. They have 75% of their streaming rights for that amount of money. And, you know, where will you be able to stream these games on what type of product that you have? What you know, what type, where will you be able to find these games other than conventional cable television? Those are the things that we're going to find out.
Bruce Levine joining us on the Aurelio's Pizza Hotline. It's the sauce. It's the great inequity in baseball, right? Local media revenue in baseball. We know that Cubs revenue for television will be more revenue than White Sox television revenue. But do you have any idea, any guesstimates?
Not necessarily, Danny.
Not necessarily.
Right now, with the last year of the deal that includes all four teams and NBC Sports Chicago, both the Cubs and the White Sox will be receiving $750,000 per game on all their cable games. That's been the equal amount that the Cubs and Sox have shared for the life of this thing since 2004 when they started this venture. You would assume because the Cubs are the more popular team and because of the fact that they will be able to charge more that
right, they get more money for ad rates, right? Like they charge higher ad rates.
Money.
Right. So I
guess, don't know it for sure.
Okay. So that is somehow. But do we know? You said the $750,000 number. Do we know? Is there an expectation of that going up or down or staying the same in the future?
It was projected at one time by a couple people that I talked to that they were assuming it would be $1 million a game. But this was long before streaming became an issue. Before cable television started to fall apart, you know, with people going out there and buying Netflix and buying Hulu and getting their media elsewhere other than cable television. That has changed the whole environment around these cable deals. So it's the smart thinking is that the Cubs will not be able to get the same money that the Dodgers did with that incredible $4 billion deal that they got back in probably about 6 years ago when the ownership changed and they made this incredible deal.
Bruce, do you have any feel for what the Cubs plan to use to program their own network once it's established and fired up?
Use in the sense of?
Other than Cubs games, what will they fill their hours?
That's the interesting thing is that both regional networks for the first time will be battling over coaches' shows, like Notre Dame coaches' shows for football and basketball. Certainly not the games; they're televised on NBC. But you know the reality that DePaul basketball, local soccer, who will partner with the Big Ten network? These are all the things that they'll be fighting for programming because. In reality, Chicago Cubs baseball, I was told, is only 6% of the programming day, percentage-wise. You know, you have those other 24 hours that you have to fill, or 21 hours that you have to fill on a daily basis, and it's 24 hours 6 months out of the year. So from all of that, there's going to be a battle for programming from our radio stations and radio shows like yours. Both the sports radio stations in town might have, you know, conversations with the ownerships of these these regional networks to simulcast, much like they've done, you know, with ESPN over the years. There might be a battle for that type of programming as well. So it should be an interesting year and a half here watching how these regional networks develop.
Bruce, among the many career highlights and accomplishments that you have as a reporter of so much repute and, I mean, decades in the industry, I'm curious where staking out guaranteed rate field for the Manny Machado arrival ranks.
Probably the lowest day of my life, I think. It's fun, but, you know, I knew there was no outcome other than me standing there tweeting a picture of him, but that is what reporting is today. You don't necessarily have to talk to somebody to be somewhere where the news is happening and be able to get to people and show them what's going on. So, you either change with the times or you get left behind. And I was happy to be out there doing it, honestly. I was there with two camera guys and we were staking out for 3 hours. And I knew I wasn't going to be able to talk to him. I knew it for it was a fact that we weren't going to be allowed to be on Fox property. But you had to be there because
it was a big event happening, and he was showing up. That's how I looked at it.
Do you think they got a shot, like a real shot?
I think so, but I don't think it's a. You know, I don't think it's a 10-year deal. You know, I just don't think that. You know, who said these other than my longtime friend Scott Boras? Who said that these are guaranteed 10-year deals just because they're 26 years old? Both of them have had injury issues. We know the history of 10-year contracts. They're not good unless you're doing steroids for the first 8 years of it. And that's not happening anymore. So, you know, the A-Rod contract was good for what? Maybe 10 out of the 13 years that it was available to people out there with Texas and the Yankees. But that was induced by, you know, something else. Tell me the other deals that have really held up that are 10 years or more. I think there's a lot of regret out there from Miami and the Yankees about the Giancarlo Stanton 13-year, $325 million deal already. He had 35 home runs, and the Yankees were extremely disappointed because they traded for a guy that hit 59 the year before. So my point is that will teams slow roll it, and will it be an 7, 8, or 9-year deal? If it is, I'm pretty sure the White Sox will be in it. I don't think they're in for a 10- or 12-year deal.
Bruce, last thing for me, and you talked about changing with the times, it made me circle back to the television discussion. So we know that the Sox and the Blackhawks and the Bulls will be on the new NBC Sports Chicago thing. That'll be on cable, and people know where to find that. Is there a chance, because we know that baseball fans are old and Cubs fans, it's been on WGN and superstations for forever, is there a chance that an unconventional bidder gets in here, and all of a sudden Cubs fans who have been used to seeing their game on WGN and a superstation are going to have to figure out, like, Amazon Prime or Netflix or Hulu? Like, is there a shot that Cubs games are going to only be available on a non-traditional platform?
No, I think you'll have a traditional broadcast partner for the cable partner for the Cubs. But all those other things, I think, are – there's a free form of that out there that, you know, they'll be likely to be able to pick it up on that as well. But I think there'll be a conventional cable carrier partner with the Cubs when we hear it announced sometime in the next month or so. What the interesting part is, I don't think Cub games will ever be on WGN or Channel 7 or any other station like that over the air. I think there's a possibility the Bulls, Blackhawks, and White Sox might be. There might be a minimal amount of games available over a over-the-air carrier for them. And the way this cable deal works, the way these deals work is, you don't get paid by the game by your partner. You get paid a lump sum. So, you know, NBC Chicago, Sports Chicago might say to the White Sox, well, we're giving you $140 million for 130 games. Or 135 games. We don't care what you do with the other games. So then they might have some residual games to sell out because it's just the total that they pay, not per game.
Thank you, Bruce.
Thanks, Bruce.
All right, guys.
Have a good night. Yeah. Talk soon.
Nice scoop. That's Bruce Levine, our Major League Baseball insider.
Bruce!
Hub Arkish will join us in 20 minutes. We find out the Pro Bowl list tonight. I want to...
Yeah.
Let's set some expectations here. The Bears.
Yeah, we can go over that in a couple of minutes. I have a feeling there's going to be a couple of long faces at Talis Hall. They don't care about playing in the game, but it could mean a bonus in their contracts. But there's going to be a few guys who get recognized.
All right, let's set some expectations ahead of Hub coming up on the score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Hey, by the way. Your Florida thing. Tony asked me to speak to you. That's a no-go.
What?
Can't be accommodated. You're part of the team.
But I just did that thing.
Well, that's not my department.
Well, can I talk to Tony at least?
I wouldn't bother him. He's out on a new boat.
It's not my department.
Well done, Silvio Dante. You're part of a team. You in, you out. You gotta have loyalty in this line of work, Mac. Everyone knows that. from The Sopranos. Our Florida thing has been put on hold. We're not going to no Pro Bowl because we're holding out for Atlanta.
Yeah, we're hoping we're going to be at Super Bowl 53 in Atlanta with the Bears and Texans.
Because that was every Florida, okay?
Gene, that's not going to happen.
Here, among your friends, is where you're useful.
Well, I told you. You tell your bosses I come back for any trial. Florida's just one of those things you got to let go.
You got to let it go. Got to let it go. Nice deep cut, Tanny. Well done. I mean, I would choose Bears Chiefs over Bears Texans.
I would also.
But, I mean, you know how much I love that tree. But, yeah, you know, Bears anybody.
The Andy Reid tree.
I'm on board.
We were talking silly about a show trip if we ever had enough money to go somewhere. And we mentioned the Pro Bowl only because it used to be a destination. Orlando, I guess, you know, you wouldn't mind a couple of days in Orlando. Look, you want to be in Atlanta for the Super Bowl. That's our hope.
That is the goal.
So Atlanta's out. But it's not out for the players. There are going to be players who go. If there are not Bears in Atlanta, there certainly will be Bears in Orlando the previous week for the Pro Bowl.
So who are the locks?
Khalil Mack is a lock. Khalil Mack and Eddie Jackson are locks.
7 interceptions, defensive player of the month for Eddie Jackson.
Fuller's got the 7 interceptions. I think Jackson has 6.
Oh, I thought it was flipped. I thought it was Jackson with 7 and Fuller with 6.
Flip you for real.
I'll check if one of us has that backwards.
Tariq Cohen is going as a specialist.
You're right. Kyle Fuller 7, Eddie Jackson 6. My apologies. I think both of those guys are going. I think Fuller, Jackson, Cohen, Mack,
Hicks.
And Hicks probably. And I think he will ultimately go. But we talk about this, man. That position has gotten so much better in the last 5 years.
It's stacked, yeah. There's really good defensive linemen in the game today.
I think he goes, but you talk about Fletcher Cox, Sheldon Rankins, Kenny Clark, Aaron Donald, all NFC guys.
And is this Pro Bowl still going to be, is it going to be back to the NFC-AFC format, or are there former players who are picking teams like a Sandlot game again?
My understanding is both.
They found a way to make the Pro Bowl less interesting, didn't they?
Well, I kind of like the television component of the draft, but yeah, then you have absolutely no loyalty with the team.
Right.
You don't know who's on any team. But my understanding is that they still put an equal number of AFC and NFC guys in on the initial list, but then the drafting can mix between conferences, if that makes any sense. I think Urlacher is actually participating in the draft. It's him and someone else. It's like a recent Hall of Famer and an old Hall of Famer. So I think it's like Urlacher and Emmitt Smith, I read, and then I forget who's picking.
Okay, Emmitt Smith being the old Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Gotcha.
How you feeling?
Gotcha. Guy I remember when he checked into the University of Florida, right? That old Emmitt Smith?
Yeah. I think I have that right.
Okay, thanks.
No problem. Which snub, if you would take it that way, would Bears fans be the most upset about? Is it Akeem Hicks?
I think it might be because a lot of people felt he deserved to go a year ago.
I think so, too.
I think Eddie Jackson, if he didn't make it, would get a lot of people upset. Well, I don't know how upset, because the prizes are bigger than anybody ever expected for this postseason, so Pro Bowl has kind of been tucked away. But still, if you're one of those guys who gets upset when your team, when your players don't get recognized, that would be one worth complaining about, I assume.
Yeah, I think Hicks would be most because of last year and his longevity. Like you said, he's been around for a lot of the losing, so you feel like he deserves some recognition for the winning.
And he's just a bear. I mean, he's just a big...
He is.
You know, he's a great athlete, but he's not in great physical condition, it doesn't appear. He still plays like he is, but he's just a... And we didn't talk about the isolated slow-mo of him doing the farmer's nose blow the other day.
Yeah, the snot rocket.
Yeah, that was... I mean, even for one who does that, I don't want that when I'm sitting at home having Hook's 10-year-age cheddar. I'm just like, oh, not now, really.
You know, you're eating 10-year-age cheddar during Bears Packers?
Yes, I'm having one of my finest.
Is that only because they're playing the Packers? Like, you go with a theme for each opponent?
Way to be more cliche.
No, I'm just a cheese guy. I love cheese. I'm eating cheese out of a squeeze
drinking
can.
Drinking fine wine when they play San Francisco?
Easy cheese. I just love cheese. It doesn't matter who they're playing, but I just that close-up with him clearing it. I thought at first, and maybe they didn't know it was going there, and they didn't stop it early enough. I thought he was just like holding his nose to like, this stinks, like you're saying to the Packers, you stink or something like that. And then he puts pressure on the top of it and clears both barrels.
Yeah, it was impressive in crystal clear high definition. I mean, 1080p, 4K.
I know, on a 60-inch. Yeah. He's flying at me. Oh, oh.
It was awesome.
Oh.
I wanted it in GIF form right away. It just.
Would you rather see the snot, or rather not see the snot, or rather not see like a Willis McGahee type injury? Like, which is more disturbing to you?
Oh, the McGahee injury, no question. I grabbed the back of my knee immediately.
That's news. When his knee swings around, that's news. He's out of the game and possibly, career.
But I don't need to see the news. I can read the news. I can read torn ACL.
But when it happens live speed, it's not their fault. I mean, they're going to show it because that's the game. It happens in the game. I thought it was kind of questionable judgment.
Really?
Yeah.
To show the snot rocket?
Yeah, I'm not offended by it. I'm not going to write letters. I thought it was, it's questionable in taste, and that's coming from me.
Yeah, I know. Well, that's why I'm so taken aback.
The standard for network television has to be so much higher than it is for me.
True.
It has to be, right? My bar is down.
My guess is they didn't know it was coming. That would be my guess. That was just one of those accidental live television moments.
How do you not know what's in how what's because I had that thought too that they didn't know it was. That's bad communication if they didn't know it was in there.
So you think
they gotta know?
We said didn't know it was in there.
It was a produced piece. Yes, it was done in slow motion.
But I thought it was because that they were doing it like they shot it in slow motion, just like they slowed it down going to a break as an effect. Do you think that that was pre-produced ahead of time?
I thought it was produced. It could have been. Yeah, I thought it was an insert, I think is what they say in the trade. Is that right? An insert?
Yeah, I believe so. I thought it was good television.
Anyway, the dude should be in Orlando.
If they're not in Atlanta.
It won't be so cold, he'll have to do the farmer's nasal clear in Orlando, probably. But I do that all the time. I just think a lot of guys do. I do it walking down the street.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Shower down the street, wherever. You need to.
Pool or a pond.
Yeah. It'll be good for you. Matt Nagy not winning coach of the year, or Akeem Hicks not making the Pro Bowl, which gets Bears fans more upset.
Guessing Hicks.
Even though Coach of the Year is a bigger award.
Coach of the Year is a bigger award. There's a lot of other good candidates, people I think are aware of. Like we were discussing, people are not aware of your guy in Kansas City. Chris Jones, number 95, not a household name in these parts.
He has the consecutive record for sacks, for games with the sack. Jones.
He's terrific. Thanks for the turn on.
No problem. I knew he'd be right up your alley. But yeah, it's...
I always look to you when I'm looking for the next three technique I can fall in love with.
I figured you might. That's my lane. It's my angle. You go to Tanny for Stanley Cup knowledge and yes. Sopranos quotes.
Oh, speaking of Stanley Cup knowledge, Sheppy, punch it in now before we forget. 100 on the Hawks over tonight to win 100. Let's not forget. We don't want to forget that.
No, this will be the one that we lose because we keep forgetting when they do it. And
I keep forgetting.
Well, yeah. I was trying to...
You can blame me. No, right. Blame me. You keep forgetting, you old man. Pay attention.
Stay engaged.
Stay focused.
Make us money on the Hawks.
It's a problem of motivation, all right?
All right. We will talk to Hub about... Man, I got a lot to get through with Hub today. Is Matt Nagy going conservative on Mitch Trubisky? What he saw from the film review? Which sixth seed would he least like to see at Soldier Field?
Your pillow fight with his pal Wayne Larrivee yesterday?
That you wanted to do.
Oh, I did.
Don't put that on me, Ricky Bobby.
Now if they could just take it and shove it up you know where.
The arrogance. We'll talk to Hub.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.